Now from the KSFR newsroom, At Noon looks at the top local news headlines for this Tuesday, September 3rd. Rescue crews are still actively searching the Santa Fe National Forest and the Jemez for a wildland firefighter missing since Friday. Token Adams was part of a crew responding to reports of a small fire in the area. The crew dispersed to investigate, and Token has not been seen since. Some 250 individuals comprising National Guard, State Police, and New Mexico search and rescue members have been conducting a search on foot and by helicopter assistance. U.S. Energy Secretary Ernest Moniz is in New Mexico today to visit both the Los Alamos and Sandia National Laboratories. Moniz will be given technical briefings with employees giving updates on the work being performed. At Sandia, a technology showcase presentation is planned. Moniz was to have been accompanied by Senator Tom Udall, who has led efforts to secure funding for cleanup of radioactive waste at Los Alamos. Udall, however, will instead be participating in a U.S. Senate Committee on Foreign Relations hearing called for this afternoon on the authorization of use of force in Syria. Meanwhile, Udall and Senator Martin Heinrich have both voiced their support of President Obama's move to seek congressional approval before taking any military action against the Assad regime in Syria. Both senators hail Obama's decision as a return to a more constitutionally sound approach in deciding when U.S. military force is necessary and justified. Though the senators decry the Syrian government's apparent use of chemical weapons, neither are anxious to commit American forces to an open-ended conflict, nor arming Syrian rebels allied with al-Qaeda. An announcement is expected today from the Los Alamos County Clerk on the issuance of marriage licenses to same-sex couples seeking to wed. Sharon Stover was ordered to do so last week by a judge or make a formal court appearance to protest. KOB-TV's website reports Stover said she needed to review legal documents before deciding her course of action. If she approves, Los Alamos would become the seventh county in our state recognizing marriage equality. As of today, packets for candidates for city councilor and the mayoral post in Santa Fe are available at the city clerk's office. Included are nominating petitions and forms relating to public campaign financing. The nominating petition for mayor must have signatures equal to 0.5% of the number of all registered voters in the city. For councilors, it's the same percentage of voters within their district of representation. Signatures can be collected now through November 2nd. There's some dissension among our state's political leaders regarding the 500-mile-long SunZia Southwest transmission line. The Army has come out in opposition, as a 45-mile stretch impinges on the White Sands missile range, which they say will disrupt operations there. Today's Albuquerque Journal reports that Governor Susana Martinez supports those concerns and sent the Bureau of Land Management a letter of dissent last month. The BLM is due to issue a final decision this month or next. Congressman Steve Pierce also supports the Army's position, while Senator Heinrich is warning that any rerouting could kill the project, as it would require new environmental impact studies, a process that would take years to complete. Home prices in Santa Fe in July were 7.8% higher than July of 2012. That's according to numbers released today by National Real Estate Data Clearinghouse CoreLogic. That increase includes sales of distressed properties, such as foreclosures and short sales. Excluding those, the rate was 3.5% higher for all uncompromised properties. CoreLogic projects that price growth will slow in coming months as seasonal demand wanes and higher mortgage rates impact home purchase demand. The New Mexico Department of Transportation is giving a heads-up to area motorists today as work begins on a 5-mile stretch of Highway 14 between the I-25 interchange and New Mexico 599. Pavement treatments are expected to last 2 weeks, weather permitting. Drivers can expect minor delays and lane closures between the hours of 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday. And weather for Santa Fe. Today is the week's best chance for precipitation ahead of a drying trend, though just a 30% chance for late-day showers and thunderstorms. Where those storms do occur, rain could be heavy. Otherwise, look for mostly sunny skies with highs in the upper 80s. And the current Santa Fe temperature, now 79 degrees. This is Dan Garrity for KSFR News. At Noon, we'll continue in just a moment.
Support comes from New Mexico Educators Federal Credit Union, a not-for-profit financial cooperative where you can earn a return for your relationship, checking, credit cards, auto loans, and mortgages. Details on Earn Your Return at nmefcu.org.
At noon on KSFR, now segues to today's feature stories. Summer in Santa Fe is fast fading, and fiesta season speaks to the coming of fall, and along with it, the return of Old Man Gloom. The 89th Burning of Zozobra is going to take place this Thursday, September 5th. Here to talk to us about this year's event is Ray Sandoval, event chairman for Zozobra. Ray, there were some complaints from attendees at last year's burning. What's being done to address those concerns?
You know, we really wanted to come back and look after last year's, with both the ticket being price being higher and just logistics in general. People had some problems getting into the field, taking strollers, and so we really went back and took this from the ground up. We wanted it to be much more family-friendly and much more attendee-friendly. You know, obviously, when you have a large crowd like that, you're always worried about public safety, and we did a really good job of keeping the public safe. The problem was is we just weren't very good at being good hosts, and so we really want to be able to balance those two things, make sure that people are safe and have a good time, and at the same time that they're comfortable, that they have information. And so we've provided with them a new shuttle system. You can park anywhere in downtown Santa Fe for $5. You take a shuttle that's free. It'll drop you off near the event. You have a little small walk, and then you're inside the event. And guess what? When you're done, you leave. You take that shuttle back. We'll take you back to your vehicle, and then you can leave. We wanted to really start with that so people didn't have to go in and start parking in some of the neighborhoods, which caused some problems last year. So what we did is we coordinated with both the state of New Mexico and the city of Santa Fe, and we're able to provide over 8 different parking venues with enough parking for a lot of people. And if you go to burnsisover.com and you click on the event map, you can actually see exactly where the parking structure will be. You can check out the shuttle schedule, and you can also see how far of a walk it will be once you get dropped off from the shuttle. So we really want to make our website more interactive and more customer-friendly as well.
And what's been changed about ticket prices?
Obviously, you know, it's a tough economy, and we really do want families to return to Zozobra. This is something that we want the entire community to be able to afford. So we actually slashed ticket prices from last year's $20 ticket per person to $10 for adults and children under 10 free. And we also made the decision that we would keep the same price the entire summer. So whether or not you bought your ticket in July, or you bought it online or at a bank, or you walk up to the gate on Thursday, you're going to pay $10 for an adult, and children under 10 are free.
With those lowered prices, have you seen an uptick in sales thus far?
You know, we've been actually very surprised. I'll give you an example. In 2011, when we used a similar online service, by ticket day, by Zozobra day, we had only sold $3,000 worth of $15 tickets. We are now a couple days out, and we're over $10,000 in just web sales alone. When you take into some of the credit unions, we're doing about 2,000 to 3,000 tickets to the different locations that we had in Santa Fe. So this is by far the most impressive we've seen our advanced ticket sales in a very long time.
And tell us, what will the proceeds from this year's Zozobra be used for?
Well, the first thing that happens is we save some money so we can do Zozobra next year. But then after that, we have three things that we want to do. Number one is our college scholarships that we offer to the youth of Santa Fe, which is just very important for us, something we've been doing since 1963. We have $500,000 worth of scholarships that we've given out since 63, and that's our number one top priority. Our second priority is to actually fund nonprofits inside the Santa Fe community that actually affect children. And so there's some homeless shelters, there's also some educational programs, and we also provide every third grader in Santa Fe with an actual physical dictionary. That's something that we started 2 years ago, and it's been a great program. And then finally, the third thing is that we have an international reach with our prayer organization, Kiwanis International, who has teamed up with UNICEF. We're working on Project Eliminate, and Project Eliminate focuses on neonatal tetanus, which claims the lives of over 70,000 women and children every year. And we've decided that a portion of the of every ticket from Zozobra actually will go to Project Eliminate. And I can report back to you that last year, Zozobra himself actually saved over 6,000 lives worldwide, and that's something that we're very proud of.
And what's your recommendation on a time that people should arrive?
So gates open this Thursday at 2 o'clock. We will have our youth bands, who are going to be playing from 2 till about 5 o'clock. We also, you know, since Kiwanis has such a youth focus, we wanted to make sure that we actually provided a venue for youth bands here in Santa Fe. And so from 2 o'clock until 5 o'clock, those folks will be playing. Now, if you want to come out and have a picnic, it looks like the weather is going to be very, very cooperative this year. We don't have any rain or any wind in the forecast. And I'm going to knock on some wood right now that we keep it that way. So come out, have a picnic. If you want to come a little bit later, I would say any time between 5 and 6 is a really good time to get there. We have over 20 vendors with very diverse cuisine, so you can eat there at the park or come and park downtown Santa Fe, go into one of the amazing restaurants in downtown Santa Fe, and then take the shuttle back up to the Zobra. So I would say as long as folks are in the gates by 7 or 8 o'clock, they should be doing pretty good. After the 8 o'clock hour, it gets a little bit crazy. There's a lot of people trying to get in there at one time. So make this an enjoyable and comfortable decision for yourself, and I'd say get there between 5 and 7.
Is alcohol allowed?
There is no alcohol allowed in our venue. Kiwanis, again, is a youth-sponsored. We want to make sure that the Zobra is very family-friendly. So we say, you know, let's save those for a Fiesta weekend. We really want people to come in and enjoy the show, and alcohol is not allowed in our venue.
Anything else you'd like our listeners to know?
The one thing I think is really important is that we're taking a huge leap of faith by cutting the ticket price in half. You know, our expenses don't go down. The amount of money that we have to pay for security and porta potties and lights and fireworks and all of those things are fixed costs. And so we really went back and listened to the community. We think that we've made it much more easy to attend the Zobra and much more friendly for people to come out. But now we need the community and the state to really support us. In order for this to be successful, we really need a lot of people there. So this is an amazing cultural experience in the city of Santa Fe and for the state of New Mexico. Come and show that you support us. Come and show that you appreciate all the work and the change that we did by attending the event.
Ray Sandoval, event chairman for Zobra, many thanks for joining us here at noon on KSFR, which will continue in just a moment.
KSFR programming is underwritten in part by the Lannan Foundation, presenting a public lecture by climate justice activist Tim DeChristopher on Wednesday, September 25th, 7 p.m. at the Lenzick Performing Arts Center, followed by a conversation with author Terry Tempest Williams. Tickets available now at TicketSantaFe.com or 988-1234. For more information, visit Lannan.org.
17 minutes past the hour as At Noon on KSFR continues. A recent audit of the functioning of New Mexico's Behavioral Health Collaborative system for Medicaid patients has resulted in funding being stopped to 15 mental health and substance abuse service providers in our state. Joining us to talk about the audit is Terry Schlater, the director of the New Mexico Foundation for Open Government. Terry, before we discuss some of the concerns you have about how the audit is being handled, let's begin by having you tell us what it is that the New Mexico Foundation for Open Government does.
New Mexico FOG fights for open and transparent government. We are a public educational and an advocacy organization. We help people to understand their rights and responsibilities of the Sunshine Laws, particularly the Open Meetings Act and the Inspection of Public Records Act.
And tell us what your concerns about this audit are.
The behavioral health audit, we believe, is a public document, and therefore the public has a right to see all of it, the details of it. There was an audit of behavioral health Medicaid system in New Mexico by our state's Human Services Division, and they've released only the summary of that audit. But they have not released the full audit, and that's a problem because being a public document, the public, including the agencies who the Human Services Division says the audit justified them turning off funding, Medicaid funding, these people haven't even seen the audit. No one has seen the full details of the audit, and that is just the opposite of transparency, and that is not okay in an open society because the public has a right to know what prompted the stoppage of this Medicaid funding. This is a major overhaul in our behavioral health system. Some would even say it's a gutting of the behavioral health infrastructure, all done in secret until they release the details of this audit. The people won't know why this has happened. And that's just counter to our democratic values in an open society.
You mentioned that a summary of the audit was released. What was in that document?
Well, the summary listed the names of all of the 15 agencies, and it listed their supposed fraudulent egregiousness, but it did not connect the two. So we don't know. We do know that the money was turned off on 15 of them. It subsequently went back on a couple of them. But we don't know who did what. So when you stop funding these agencies, when you turn off the Medicaid fund to 15 agencies at the same time, logically it makes you think, well, they all did something equally as bad because their Medicaid funds got turned off. But we don't know exactly what that was. We do know that some of the agencies were accused of lesser egregiousness than the others. So why would all the money stop at the same time? These are just some of the questions that the audit is begging for us to know. But Fogg's concern is that open documents about the public's business by publicly funded agencies, in this case the government, is funding these agencies to carry out a government function. When those agencies have a financial audit, that information is public. The public has a right to know, well, we don't know if this is mass Medicaid fraud or just a witch hunt or an intentional gutting of our behavioral health infrastructure.
What action, if any, is your organization planning on taking?
Well, we are weighing our legal options right now. We announced last week that we would be joining the legal fray. So we'll be filing a lawsuit. And right now, our legal experts at the Foundation for Open Government are putting their options together. Most likely, we'll be suing all three public custodians of this report. And those are the Human Services Division, who ordered this audit, and the Attorney General, and the state auditor. We think this is a no-brainer. I mean, this is a public document.
What suggestions do you have for citizens?
Well, you can join us in filing IPRAs, which means the public records request. If you'd like to request a copy of the audit and the details of the audit, that's always a good thing for citizens to learn how to do.
Anything you'd like to add?
This is the point of having open records laws, so that we can see what it is that the government is supposed to be doing and when they fall short, so that we can know whether we're getting our services or that we're paying for with our tax dollars or not.
Terry Schlater from the New Mexico Foundation for Open Government, many thanks for joining us here today. We have more of At Noon coming up for you in just a moment.
KSFR programming is underwritten in part by PNM, offering a way to support renewable energy on your bill with PNM Sky Blue. PNM customers can choose to pay a little more to support wind and solar energy efforts and show their commitment to the environment. If you have a question for PNM, you can talk to them on Twitter or Facebook, or learn more about PNM Sky Blue at PNM.com.
23 minutes past the hour as At Noon continues. A choral group from Santa Fe is about to travel overseas for a series of performances. KSFR News reporter Charles Maynard joins us now to file this report.
The Santa Fe Women's Ensemble is about to go on a trip to Spain. Julie Kirk is a singer with the ensemble and is on their board.
Well, the Women's Ensemble was formed back in 1981, and it was actually the first group that performed in Loreto Chapel since the 50s, and the nuns actually sang there. So that is one of our favorite venues in Santa Fe. It is comprised of 13 to 15 voices, depending on the year. And they're all local Santa Feans. People in the group have been in from 1 year to, I think our longest singer is 30 years. And our director, Dr. Linda Rainey, is celebrating her 25th year of directing us this year.
The group starts out on their trip Wednesday, September 4th.
Yes, this trip to Spain will be quite an amazing trip. I almost think of it as a pilgrimage. We've got a couple native New Mexicans in the group. that's going. But this almost feels like a pilgrimage to our forefathers, even though it's not us personally. I feel like we're going back to where our founders came from. And I think it's going to be very interesting to see what the landscape is like and what the surroundings are like and what the conquistadores came to Santa Fe and what they thought of our area. We're going to be singing four performances, one in Madrid, one in Seville, one in Granada, and one in Barcelona. And in Barcelona, we're also going to be performing at the Mass at the cathedral just prior to our performance. The other thing that we're doing is we are going to be performing with local choirs. And so in Madrid and Granada and Barcelona, we have local groups that are going to be performing with us. So in addition to the music that we have prepared, we're also preparing music to sing with these other groups. So I think that will also be an amazing thing. We leave tomorrow, September 4th, and we'll be in Madrid by the time they burn Zozobra. We're going to see some amazing things. One of the places that we're going is Toledo, or Toledo in Spanish, and it is, according to Rick Steves, which I've been reading, he says that that's where the phrase Holy Toledo comes from. That it was so holy that that became, the Sephardic Jews came to America and they shared that Holy Toledo. So the next time somebody says that, you can think of that. One of the other places that I think will be magical is Nerja, which is along the southern coast of Spain, and it has Paleolithic caves that we're going to be touring. So I imagine something like our Carlsbad caverns, but with ancient creatures and bones. And then there's also an amphitheater, a natural amphitheater that they have performances in. So maybe we'll get a guerrilla-type singing there where we'll just break out in song.
The ensemble is paying for this trip out of their own pockets.
Well, we're all financing it personally. All of the singers and all of the people who are going are paying their own way.
They've made other international trips.
We went on a trip to Italy in 2008. And I must tell you that being able to sing in some of these most magical places was just almost a religious experience. Whether you're religious or not, going into these cathedrals that have been there for 4 or 5 centuries. I think the one I remember in Assisi was called the New Church, and it was built in the 14th century. So these are places that are really old. And the notes, when you sing, just echo around the rafters. It's just, and bounce off of the stained glass. It's just an amazing thing.
For more information on this trip, visit the group's website.
Our website is www.sfwe.org.
As soon as they return, they start preparing for holiday concerts.
Oh, just the Christmas concerts will be quite amazing this year, as always. They begin the second week of December. We perform at Loreto Chapel, at First Presbyterian, and at Immaculate Heart of Mary. We have a brand new premiere piece by a gentleman named Ivo Antonini, and we are actually going to have, I believe, a harp and a glockenspiel joining us at this concert series. That's going to be in December, so that's very exciting as well.
Julie Kirk with the Santa Fe Women's Ensemble. For KSFR News, I'm Charles Maynard.
Some of us have driven our ideal car, the car of our dreams, but there comes a time to let it go. If you are at that crossroads, consider donating it to KSFR. We have the connections to send your car to its next place. Call us for details about turning your love car over to something else you love, listening to KSFR. The number to call is 428-1527. That's 428-1527.
And taking a look at some business news at midday, the U.S. box office hit a record $4.7 billion over the summer, with a 10.2% increase in revenue from last year. Films such as Iron Man 3, Man of Steel, and Despicable Me 2 helped boost numbers, despite a summer of flops including The Lone Ranger, After Earth, and The Wolverine. An unusually large number of summer releases also saw movie attendance rise by 6.6% to about 573 million. Taking a look at the big board on Wall Street, the Dow currently down 23 points at 14,787, the NASDAQ up 5 at 3,595, and the S&P 500 up 1 point. It stands at 1,634. 12:30 here at the KSFR Newsroom, the bottom of the hour, the perfect time to spend 60 seconds with our resident curmudgeon, Christopher Hagen.
Once again, the Santa Fe City Council has proved that it can still walk on water with its holier-than-thou vote that bans plastic bags and puts a 10-cent surcharge on each paper bag you get at the store. The Santa Fe City Council is like a bag of planters. Nuts! Over the years, various city councils and mayors have done their darndest to sanitize Santa Fe, and they're doing a pretty good job of making us just another adobe cloak town. Ho-hum. But instead of banning plastic bags, why not put a bounty on plastic bags? Pay people to collect plastic bags to turn them in, and then the city sells them to a recycler for a profit. Goodness knows we have enough sustainable homeless who would welcome the opportunity to make money. So, Santa Fe, your ban on plastic bags is, well, trash. For KSFR, I'm Christopher Hagen.
And with that, we'll conclude today's edition of At Noon, KSFR's extended noon news hour. Dan Garrity with you here at the news desk, with many thanks to my contributing colleague today, Charles Maynard. We'll be back with more news of and for New Mexico for you tomorrow. And as always, we hope you join us.